Well, Father, maybe going to the question I was just asking you offset, we're a prophet, yes, I tell you, much more than a prophet. And he talked about, I tell you, of all the children born of women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the least of the kingdom of God is greater than he is. I just sort of flash back to St. Joseph we were talking about being greater than John the Baptist, because Joseph was the guardian of the Redeemer, and there'd be no man other than Mary, naturally, as a category in herself, but Joseph would be. But how do you answer that one?
Well, it says, I tell you, of all the children born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. There are different ways of being in the kingdom of God. The normal way for us is to belong to the church, receive the sacraments, and believe in the doctrine that is taught to us, and submit ourselves to the authority of the church, those three marks of Catholicism, active Catholicism. For the apostles, they belong to the kingdom by listening to our Lord, following him with all of their foibles and faults and sins, and even abandoning him at the on the day of the Passion, or the night of the vigil of the Passion, and coming back and repenting and rejoining him after the resurrection. That was their way of doing it, which isn't our way. But there's another way of being in the kingdom of God, which is the greatest of all, and that's the way Our Lady, long before the apostles ever came along, long before our Lord came along, through a special privilege, was immaculately conceived through the workings of the Holy Spirit, already profiting from the merits to come of her very own Son, her own merits deriving from his. And so she was certainly in the kingdom of God, more so than the apostles, more so than we are. She's a part of that kingdom, as a matter of fact. So we have our way of being in the kingdom, in the church, and the various ways of belonging to the church, which Vatican Council II has brought out in Lumen Gentium. The apostles and the immediate disciples who had immediate contact with our Lord in his teaching ministry, and also passed through the Passion and the Resurrection so imperfectly, but yet they came back. And then Our Lady's founding presence, because she was the one who gave the yes, behold the handmaid of the Lord, which founded the kingdom, which made the kingdom possible. Well, between Our Lady and the apostles, there's another possibility, which would be to be in the very presence of Christ from the very beginning of his life, and to accompany him through all of those years in the Holy Family. And that, of course, was the privilege of St. Joseph. St. Joseph was there. As Our Lady conceived by the Holy Spirit, St. Joseph was already knew her and was betrothed to her. And as he discovered that she was with child, he passed through his terrible, terrible trial. And we'll speak about in a minute, St. John the Baptist has a terrible, terrible trial too, a trial of hesitation and wondering, you know, what is this that is going on? It absolutely transcends all of our holy plans. St. Joseph was accompanying the Holy Family from the beginning of our Lord's human existence, all the trials, his own little passion, his own little cross, and of course the journey into Egypt and the years they spent there, and the return to Nazareth, the hidden years, which are and will remain hidden to us. That is, there's a world of Catholicism, you're tempted to say, that occurred in the house of Nazareth. Joseph had as his pedagogues Our Lady and Our Lord, I mean, for years, all to himself. This was a catechism class.
Yes.
And
lived in the presence of
who wishes
Christ
to receive the sacrament of baptism? Sacrament of baptism means to be touched by our Lord, well, he could touch him every day. Who needs to be confirmed? What is confirmation for? The grace of confirmation is to confirm us within the grace of Christ. Well, he was confirmed every day. The Eucharist is given to us in order that we may commune with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have him within us. Well, he had him in his own house 24 hours a day. To speak of St. Joseph as being below St. John certainly was not in the intention of St. Luke. And St. Luke, of course, was very close to Our Lady, mm-hmm. and knew from her all about St. Joseph. And we must remember, Our Lady has a very low profile in the New Testament. She's not trumpeted out in the front stage very often. She has her moment of privilege, which is in Luke's Gospel too, the Annunciation, the great yes, which made the kingdom of God possible to begin with. And then she makes these little cameo appearances, and then she withdraws again. And St. Paul, for example, never speaks about her. She's not explicitly named in the Apocalypse, but very symbolically in the 12th chapter, the allusion to her as the woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon with the stars around her feet. But she has a very quiet, silent presence in the Bible. And that's important. Because that's the way she was present in life. That, to have a whole book just about Mary wouldn't tell you much about Mary, because she doesn't tell you so much through words, just like mothers don't. Mothers are more presences, and the look of a mother, the warmth of a mother, the lap of a mother for the child, the warmth, the nourishment of a mother. That's what's basic about a mother. Sure, mothers speak, but they speak precisely as mothers, and they're always in function of these deeper, silent mysteries. So Our Lady has a very silent presence in the New Testament, and we can be sure that St. Joseph does too, for that very same reason. When Protestants are perhaps put off by the amount of attention that we give to Our Lady and the amount of attention that we give to St. Joseph, they perhaps don't understand that. I can even imagine Our Lady saying to St. Luke, please don't write anything about Joseph. She had this most incredible relationship with him. It just blows your mind, to imagine what they must have talked about, or how they must have looked at each other, sharing in their own household God, the creator of the universe. And Joseph perhaps even asked her as he was dying, says, please just don't let anything be said about me. This is just between you and me, as it were. And so he's present in the pages of Scripture only as this very quiet kind of a functional a foster father, receiving dreams and going off and obeying the dreams, obeying the angels that are speaking to him in the dreams. But he doesn't have a high profile, and he surely didn't want one. I don't think Our Lady wanted him to have one. I don't think Our Lord wanted him to have one. Those are like family secrets. There are things that happen in your family. You say, well, that's my family. Please, I don't say that to anybody. In our case, it would be some bad things, maybe some sad things in our own families that we don't share with others, but also some special joys and graces. So that's private. That's intimate. And St. Joseph, more than any other father in the history of the world, was let in on the most magnificent family secrets that could possibly exist. So he doesn't occur. And I'm sure when St. Luke is writing this, he's just thinking, well, of course, I'm not talking about
Joseph's another category.
Joseph or Mary. Yes. That we're speaking about.
But he was certainly John. Holding up John as a great man with a great mission.
Well, you see, St. John the Baptist is another mysterious figure. Mm-hmm. There's a way in which I've always been fascinated by these two figures, because St. John the Baptist is the last prophet, and he's the very, very last prophet of the Old Testament, because all the prophets of the Old Testament are pointing in so many different ways to Christ. They see vaguely through a glass darkly, and and in images and symbols, but they're always pointing at Christ. There he is, like a cloud coming. There he is, the suffering servant. There he is. They're doing what St. Thomas Aquinas says when he discusses prophecy. He says the prophet is by nature the man who, through a special grace of God Almighty, procul videns et procul fons, in Latin. He sees distant things and he speaks of distant things. Procul means distant in Latin. He sees videns procul, he sees things in the far distance, the temporal distance, because they're in centuries to come, and he speaks those things that he sees. Well, when you see things that are far away, you don't see them very well. But the prophet is given the ability to see them a little and to warn us about them and orient us about them. And so all the prophets of the Old Testament are seeing and speaking about the Lord to come. Well, St. John the Baptist is able to look him in the face and say, there he is. And the most famous, I think probably the most famous prophet in all of the Bible is St. John the Baptist's finger. Ecce in Latin, behold the Lamb of God. Once again, we just as we quote the centurion after this, this interesting? Both of these come from chapter 7 of St. Luke's Gospel. Mm-hmm. St. Luke is the one, well, I'm sorry, they both come from St. Luke's Gospel in any case. Behold the Lamb of God. And then we respond, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. We're quoting St. John the Baptist and the centurion before we receive our Lord into our little family, our little household. So St. John the Baptist is the last apostle whose bony finger points directly at the Lord, who's no longer distant. He's right there. He says, there he is. But this causes a problem for the prophet. The old prophets were in a way protected by the distance. They saw in a vague way, and so they were able to draw these poetic and these symbolic pictures that are very interesting and make good literature too. When the literature departments of the universities study the Bible, they usually read the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, because they're fascinating reading. They usually, if you have a book that's called The Bible as Literature, and just for people who are interested in literature and want to use the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, usually you'll find huge portions of the Old Testament, and they usually knock all the Gospels out because they're not particularly literary quality isn't particularly high. Luke is the best, but he's still not quite up to par with Isaiah. And they knock out the greater part of the New Testament, because when the prophets write, they write with color and with it's exciting and interesting, and they elaborate tremendously. Well, St. John is confronted with a difficulty. Mm-hmm. He receives the grace to see this is the man. He points to him.
Yeah.
But precisely because he can see him, and he can look into his face, and he sees he has 2 feet, and he's wearing a robe, and he eats, and walks around, and he looks at the back of his head. He's three-dimensional, and this begins to haunt you when you see God manifest up close. It's not easy to believe. Our Lord did not have a glow around him as he walked around. You know, he certainly to look into his eyes, to look into his face would have been a very profound experience. But he wasn't. He didn't look like. Charlton Heston or Jeffrey Hunter in those old Bible films. He was a man, and he was a Jew, and he was around him were the apostles who were nitty gritty men.
They were cousins. Oh, John the Baptist, are you he? That is, you know.
So he finally
wouldn't he know? I mean, they were cousins. They were anointed, and he know it from Elizabeth that Jesus was God.
You would think so, but the problem of having seen him so closely and seeing him again and again and hearing about him, the disciples of John gave him all this news, and John, summoning 2 of his disciples, sent them to the Lord to ask, after hearing all the things that he'd done and the controversies and the scandals that people had caused because of him, he sent his 2 disciples to ask our Lord, are you really the one who is to come, or must we wait for someone else? And St. John was moved, was worried, and his faith was tried, just as St. Joseph's faith had been tried. You know, is this the virgin that I was going to marry, who suddenly is with child? I mean, it struck right at the heart of the virginal, faithful Saint Joseph's marriage, as we would say today, that they had intended upon, and here Saint John the Baptist, finally, here we are. There's the Messiah. He points at him, and then he's drawn into the night of faith. He has to say, "I have to believe that is God." I mean, he really is a human being. You know, he breathes. You know, he's got two eyes, he's got a nose, two ears. He breathes, and he eats, and he sleeps. Is this God really? And so Saint Joseph and Saint John, they represent, possibly outside of Our Lady, not possibly. I think this is, we can affirm. Let's just say it. Outside of Our Lady, Saint John is the last prophet of the Old Testament, and Saint Joseph, as the first prophet or the first testimony of the New Testament outside of Our Lady, they were the most sorely tried in two very different ways. Saint Joseph, because of Our Lady's supernatural fecundity bearing Our Lord, and Saint John because he had to look the great Messiah in the face and point him out to the others, and also die before the redemption, just like Saint Joseph. However, in St. John's case, we have a death by martyrdom and the testimony of his sanctification in the womb at the visitation when the child leapt in St. Elizabeth's womb, which tradition has taken to mean that he was baptized in the womb. He received the grace of redemption then and there. And of course, there's also a pious tradition that Saint Joseph
would be doing the same.
Saint Joseph received the same special grace because of the very proximity in which he would be to our Lord. So Joseph and John, the two great saints, Saint John the Evangelist, perhaps the great heavenly patron for all those outside the church, mm-hmm. Saint Joseph, the great heavenly patron for the church itself. And both of them dying before the redemption, but for that very reason, under Our Lady, the two highest saints, Our Lady, Joseph, and then Saint John, and then come,
the rest.
Hopefully, the rest of us.